Welcome to the Children's Ministry Podcast with your host, Carl Bastian, and his always entertaining sidekick, Gus. Whether you've been on the Kidology website, to a Kidology conference, or read the top-selling Kidology handbook, the word Kidology is almost synonymous with children's ministry. But where did this word come from? And what is the significance of it for our ministry? In this episode, Gus interviews Carl about his unique journey into kids' ministry and the birth of a word that has come to mean creative and practical help to thousands who minister to kids. This episode is sponsored by Discipleland Bible Curriculum, a unique resource that can equip you to strategically make disciples of Jesus out of the kids at your church. Don't miss Gus's top 10 reasons to check out Discipleland at the end of the podcast. And now, here's your host, Gus.
Welcome back to the Children's Ministry Podcast. I am your host, Gus, and this is my sidekick, Pastor Carl.
Your sidekick?
What? You thought I was the sidekick? Anyway, as host, I decided I would like to interview you.
You want to interview me?
Yeah, I want to get to the bottom of the meaning of the word kidology.
Well, okay, I'm all right with that.
I mean, you got the Kidology website, you have the Kidology handbook that you wrote, and lots of people have come to the Kidology University or the Kidology To Go conferences, but I want to get right down to the bottom of what is kidology.
Well, I would be glad to answer that question.
And not kidology, okay? That's Carl's pet peeve. Don't call it kidology, it's kidology.
That's right, kidology. And in its simplest form, kidology is the study of kids, kid and ology, the study of. And I like to define it as not just the study of kids, but the way kids think, the way they relate, the way they communicate, and the way they learn.
Yeah, I know how kids think.
How's that?
They don't.
What do you mean they don't?
Whenever my mom would say, Gus, what were you thinking? I would say, well, I wasn't.
Yeah, and that's probably her point. But not only how kids think and relate and communicate and learn, but Kidology's emphasis is very much on also the world of kids.
Ah, the world of kids. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a lot of teacher training out there that is wonderful, that helps people who teach and minister kids to know how to teach them. But I think where Kidology is unique is in its emphasis on the world of kids. I have always been fascinated by the world of children, ever since I was a child.
Yeah, and judging by your office, you're still quite fascinated with the world of kids. And here you are in children's ministry. So how did you get involved in children's ministry?
Well, quite honestly, I have been in children's ministry for a very long time.
I've heard you say over 30 years of experience. Now, that either makes you kind of old, or it means you started kind of young.
Well, I did start kind of young. In fact, my mom was really involved in the children's ministry at our church as a volunteer, and she often included me and got me involved in helping, you know, make props and just to roll up my sleeves and help at church events. But there was a very significant event that happened when I was about 10 years old. We had a children's evangelist come to our church by the name of Barney.
The dinosaur came to your church?
Not that dinosaur. But Barney came and he did a 5-day meeting, and he did, magic tricks, and he did a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, I'm a better ventriloquist than you.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, watch this. Hello, everybody. My mouth didn't move at all.
Yeah, this is a podcast. They can't see your mouth.
Oh, that makes it even easier.
Yes, and he also did flannel graph.
Ooh, flannel graph.
Hey, this was the 1970s, all right? But Barney, through that week, communicated the gospel in such clear ways that even though I'd been saved as a 4-year-old...
Man, you were like a 6-year veteran of the faith.
Yes. Even though I was already a Christian, he really helped me to visualize and to see exactly what it meant to be a Christian. In fact, during the week, I actually figured out a couple of his magic tricks and made them at home and performed them for my family. And all week long, he kept saying that he was going to give us a chance on the final day to make a decision, you know, to do some business with God. And let me tell you, I was ready.
To do business with God? Oh my God, did you have a business card and a business suitcase and a business suit?
No, not that kind of business. But anyway, we finally got to that final moment, and I gotta tell you, Gus, I was on the edge of my seat. I was so ready to go forward and make a decision. The problem was, you know, I didn't really know how to put it in words.
I mean, you were a kid after all.
That's right. So I was looking for this grown-up to kind of put into words what God was just stirring inside of me and getting me excited. And so I got so excited, and he started giving the invitation But, you know, I remember being kind of frustrated because it was a gospel presentation.
That was frustrating? Well, because I'd already been a Christian. Oh, yeah, that's right, for 6 whole years.
So I remember actually being a little disappointed as I sat there in the pew, eager to go forward, but watching all these kids,
all these secular, heathen, pagan, unregenerate, hellbound reprobates going forward.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd put it that way. But all these kids went forward, and then they went off into the side room with the counselors to be led to Christ and followed up on. And I thought, okay, now's my chance.
Oh, yeah, there was another invitation?
That's right, there was another one. And this time, Barney was describing that, you know, some kids are a Christian, but, you know, they're one kid at church and they're another kid at school, and maybe they need to get a little more serious about their Christian faith.
And you kind of like a rededicate their faith.
That's right. But, you know, I really didn't feel that fit me. I mean, I knew I wasn't a perfect kid.
Yeah, your mom could vouch for that.
Yes, and my Sunday school teachers.
Yeah, everybody basically.
Okay, fine, Gus. But I did feel like I was doing my best. And so I remember, again, being kind of frustrated and impatient as all the
little backsliders went forward.
Yeah. And went off with the counselors. That's right. And then I thought, this is it, the third option. And now will be my chance to go forward and make a decision.
So what was it? What happened?
Well, you know, there wasn't a third option.
There wasn't?
No, and that's pretty typical. Often we do a gospel presentation and a chance for kids to make a recommitment, but there wasn't a third option.
So what did you do? I mean, you said this was a significant event in your life.
Well, you know what? In that final prayer, I just prayed a very simple prayer, not really knowing the words to say. I just said, God, I want to be like Barney when I grow up.
I love you. You love me.
Not that Barney.
Oh, sorry.
And that was it. But I went home that day, and as good moms do, good parents, they try to extract out of their kids what they learned or what God did in their life.
Yeah, you had a great mom. I hear lots of stories about her.
And so my mom was doing that. And when I told her that when I grew up, I wanted to be a children's evangelist like the one that had come to our church, my mom had an amazing answer.
What did she say? I bet she said, Carl, that's wonderful. You'd be great at that someday.
You know, a lot of good moms might have said something like that, but not my mom.
What'd she say?
My mom said, Carl, that's fantastic. Next Wednesday night, you're teaching all the children in our council time in Awana.
Whoa! Next Wednesday!
That's what I said. I said, Mom, I said when I grow up. My mom said a profound thing. She said, Carl, growing up's got nothing to do with serving God. If God's called you to be a children's evangelist, you can start tomorrow.
Whoa! What did you do?
Well, I didn't know what to do, but I had a wonderful mother, and she coached me through taking one of my magic tricks and turning it into a story, and next Wednesday night, I stood in front of all the kids in our church, and I taught the council time.
Whoa, so you, like, actually started as a kid. Wow, is that when you started doing puppets?
That's right. In fact, my first puppet
was me.
No, actually, my first puppet wasn't you, Gus.
I know. I see all the puppets over there.
My very first puppet was this really ugly puppet.
You better hope he doesn't listen to the podcast.
I mean, he was a hideous homemade thing. My mom had got it at a thrift store, but it was a human arm puppet. And
what's that mean?
That means I could put my human arm in him and make his arm move.
Oh, instead of an arm rod like this? Pff, ow! Sorry! I accidentally hit you in the nose.
Anyway, and I needed a name for him. And our Awana commander's name was Jerry Hinkle. And so my dad helped me come up with the idea to name my puppet Harry Jinkle.
Harry Jinkle.
That's right. So Harry would come out every week and give announcements and tell some jokes and sometimes participate in the lessons. And I began to teach. And so I really became a teacher of children while I was still a child. And soon I was teaching a Sunday school class and doing magic shows, even in other churches, learning to unicycle and juggle, anything I could learn to help me be a better children's evangelist.
Wow, so you got involved in children's ministry while you were a kid. So where did this whole term kidology come?
You know, I was enjoying doing children's ministry. By the time I was in junior high and high school, when I had a car, oh, that's cool, I could drive to other churches and minister. And then when I was at downtown Chicago, now a Moody student, ministering in churches all over Chicagoland, I was also teaching children's church at Moody Church in Chicago.
Oh, I love Moody Church. That is a great church. D.L. Moody founded that.
Yes, he did. And I was ministering to about 100 kids, both from the suburbs as well as inner city kids. And I was was pretty much by myself in there and enjoying a lot of success doing that. And then a woman in the church by the name of Ardith Ward decided to interview me for just the church newsletter.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And they knew there was this moody student doing children's church. And as I began to share with her the story of how I got involved in children's ministry, she was actually one that identified for me. Carl, you know, most people aren't like you.
She wasn't kidding.
Anyway, and she said, most people, you know, kind of grow up and they kind of forget about the world of kids, and yet you've stayed engaged in the world of children. And she identified that as being the primary reason that I was so effective in my teaching and why I had virtually no discipline problems, even though I had very challenging kids in that situation. And so she said, Carl, adults need to learn how to teach kids the way that you do. And so when I did my first workshop for volunteers as a children's pastor, I called it Kidology 101. The goal was to try and help adults learn how to minister to kids from within the context of their culture.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I hear people all the time say that you have this uncanny ability to connect with kids. You know, how is that?
Well, you know, number one, I think it's because I never left the world of kids. I stay engaged in the culture of kids. I mean,
yeah, just look at all the toys in here.
You know, I don't just buy toys to be an object lesson. I buy toys because I like the toys.
You're not kidding.
You know, I think secondly, there was a big thing that God did in my life, and that is that He gave me a brother.
Gave you a brother? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, you see, Gus, I grew up in a home full of sisters. I mean, I had so many sisters, I didn't even know what to do with them.
Whoa! How many sisters did you have?
Two.
Two? That's not a lot.
Believe me, when you're a boy, that's a lot of sisters. And I wanted a brother every birthday, every Christmas, every
Groundhog Day,
any holiday. If my parents asked me what I wanted, I said I want a brother.
Well, you know, that's kind of difficult.
Well, it is kind of difficult. I didn't really understand that fully when I was littler, but got to hand it to my parents. They finally gave me a brother, in fact, almost on my birthday.
No way!
That's right. My 13th birthday was actually celebrated in the hospital room. My mom's water bag had already broken.
What's that mean?
I'll explain that later. And I wanted her so bad to have that baby.
That would have been the coolest present right there on your birthday.
But I tell you, I had to wait two painfully long days, but I did get a brother. And
you've never had a birthday party since.
Sometimes it felt that way because my little brother Jordan became, you know, just the bright spot in our home. But you know what? 13 was a significant age.
Yeah, that's the age that you suddenly become cool.
That's right. You're a teenager and you start getting rid of all your kid stuff because, you know, you want to be this cool, mature teenager.
You're not really mature, but you think you are.
Exactly. But because I had this little brother, I stayed immersed in the world of kids because I had this little brother who thought that I was the coolest person on the earth.
Yeah, you had him fooled.
Anyway, so that kept me involved in the world of kids, you know, and I constantly seek to, you know, view situations through the eyes of a child. I constantly try to say, how would a child view this? And I think that also helps me connect with kids.
Well, does this strategy, you know, of connecting with kids and being a part of their world, does it have any drawbacks?
You know, it's funny you'd ask that. You know, sometimes, Gus, there is a drawback. Sometimes you can be perceived as being immature or of not taking things seriously.
Yeah, boy, that can be rough.
But you know what? When I'm ministering to children, I am dead serious. Even though it looks like fun, I am very serious. I am aware, number one, that I am dealing with the eternal destiny of children.
That's serious stuff.
You know, and I'm also quite aware that there is spiritual warfare going on and that our enemy is also targeting children above any other group. And so if that means I need to be funny or silly or even thought of as, you know, immature or childish by some adults, that's okay with me. You know, those who get it, they understand that it's through the toys, the fun, the laughter,
and at times even just the simple silliness,
yes, that lives are being changed and souls are being saved for all of eternity.
And what about those who don't get it?
Well, you know what? You need to be gracious, but don't let it stop you. Kids' souls are more important than your own pride, you know, if people insult you or look down on you because of the way you minister to kids.
Wow, so if you could sum up the passion of Kidology, what would you say it is?
You know, I would say the passion of Kidology is to challenge and equip adults to engage in a relational ministry through a working knowledge of the world of kids.
Wow, and that passion led you to create this massive website that we all know as Kidology.org. You know, how does the website fit that passion?
Well, you know, Kidology.org's mission is to equip and encourage those who minister to children. And throughout the content of the site, there's a great emphasis on ministry via relationships. And much of the content is designed to keep those who teach kids engaged with the culture of kids and the world of kids.
You know, you speak about the culture of kids as though it's a different culture than that of adults. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. In fact, Gus, the next podcast is going to begin a series on how to approach children's ministry as cross-cultural ministry. Just as a foreign missionary must learn the culture of the land they seek to reach, children's ministers must learn the culture of kids if they truly want to be effective. We're going to be looking at three specific areas of culture and some very practical tips that will help you better minister to kids.
Oh, man, I can't wait. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Listening to this podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to this podcast so you don't miss a single broadcast.
Yeah, you know, and send us your feedback as well. We love to hear how this podcast is encouraging you or equipping you in your ministry.
Okay, before we go, though, I want to give a huge shout out to our podcast sponsor, Discipleland.
Okay, that sounds great.
And I want to give my top 10 reasons why Discipleland Bible Curriculum gets Gus's endorsement.
All right, let's hear them.
Number 10, it has a one-year cycle.
That's true.
Can you explain what that means?
Yes, the one-year cycle means that rather than a two- or three-year cycle like some curriculums have, every teacher teaches the same thing every year so they can get better and better, reusing ideas and or things that didn't work, not doing them the next year, and that's a wonderful thing about it.
Okay, number 9, it's got a cool kids website.
That's right.
That's DiscipleZone.com.
DiscipleZone.com is a fun website that is free for all disciple and church users, that where parents and teachers can interact with kids throughout the week, giving them additional learning opportunities, you know, based on the content of the lesson.
Number 8, it is non-dated and non-graded. What does that mean?
Well, that means that the books don't say first grade or second grade on them, so the churches can pick the books that go with the kids that they're trying to teach, and that they can move things around and be flexible and not be locked into teaching a certain book to a certain grade.
Oh, number 7, it is always fresh.
That's right. You know, a lot of curriculums repeat a lot of stories, but in Discipleland, kids experience a different Bible lesson every week for 6 years without any repeat.
Wow, that sounds pretty comprehensive. Number 6, it integrates mission. Number 5, it has a clear gospel presentation. That's great. It also motivates parents. That's my number 4.
That's right. Lots of neat tools to help parents.
Number 4, it costs less.
That's actually number 3.
Oh, number 3. Cost. How does it cost less?
Well, the cool thing about Discipleland, because it's non-dated, you only have to buy the teacher's guides and the resource kits once. And then after that, you can just buy the student guides. And because the student guides break apart, instead of one per kid that might attend, you can buy one per your average attendance because the books break apart and you can give them to the kids that are there that week.
Wow. Number 2 reason I love Discipleland is it has Bible trading cards and really cool posters.
That's right. And these posters are kind of a visual summary of the unit. And as kids put them on their wall in their room, parents can engage with them. And of course, Bible trading cards are always fun.
And my number 1 reason I like Discipleland is it helps make disciples of Jesus.
That's right. Well, let me encourage you to check out Discipleland. There's a couple different ways you can on the website. I did a Kidology Spotlight Ministry resource on Discipleland that you can read. There's also a Discovering Discipleland kit that you can buy that gives you kind of a sample. And of course, you can always go to discipleland.com to learn more about it. Well, we're thankful for Discipleland's sponsorship and all they're doing to help make disciples of kids.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? And I can't wait till the next podcast where we can start diving in to how to be a missionary to kids by learning their culture.
I can't wait.
Thanks again for listening. Be sure to subscribe via iTunes and tell a friend about the Children's Ministry Podcast, which can be easily found at childrensministrypodcast.com. Join us next time as Carl begins to unfold how we can minister to children from within their culture by first mastering their language, the language of humor. You don't want to miss the insightful tips that will get your kids laughing and then learning. Until then, go play with some toys.